You have your Bibles this morning. Let's open together to the book of Isaiah this evening. I did this thing just yesterday. It's okay. Isaiah chapter 9. We'll be focusing in on verses 6 and 7. I'm sure as you open your mailbox in November and December, you're getting lots of things. Many of them are announcements of all different kinds. For example, you may be getting a Christmas announcement from a family with their picture to kind of announce what's going on in their life, for not only what was in 2018, but what's coming in 2019. It may even have a letter attached to it because so much needs to be announced. Sometimes you open your mailbox in December, and because people like to get married this time of year, maybe it's an engagement announcement or a wedding announcement, telling you what's happening. But sometimes, on rare occasion, you open that mailbox and what do you see? A naked baby. Right? That's not weird. It's called a birth announcement. And many times today when they're on the card, that little thing's naked. It's wrapped up in like a cream-colored crochet blanket in an old wash tub. And then there's like these cranberries sometimes around the baby. And there's leaves. And what's the baby always doing? Sleeping. I'm like, what? I'm looking out here. I don't see any baby sleeping. I mean, moms, when you do this, when you send out this birth announcement, do you give your child, like, what, Benadryl? Whatever, I'm not judging you, and I've kind of got distracted. The point is, you open the mailbox, and sometimes there's that birth announcement. And what does it do for you? It brings you joy, and you rejoice because a child has been born into that family. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 9. We have what I call the divine royal birth announcement of our King. And it was meant to do for you on a much grander scale what that birth announcement does for you when you open the mailbox. It's meant to bring a smile to your face and hope to your heart that a child has been born to us, a son has been given to us. And Isaiah says the government will rest on his shoulders. I don't know about you, but I need to hear that as I face 2019. And I need to claim the names that Isaiah gives him. In Isaiah chapter 9, Israel needed some good news. They were under a wicked king named King Ahaz, and he was running the country amok, away from God. They were on their way to being delivered into exile. Most of the book is warning and lamenting from God through Isaiah to his people that says, you've disobeyed, you've missed it. Please come back to me, but because I know you won't, I have to punish you. And over again, they hear this. But Isaiah chapter 9 is a little different. It's God taking a break from the wrath and lamenting and telling them, yes, this is your life today, misery and darkness and destruction. But one day, a child will be born, a son will be given, and he will change everything. Some people say, well, isn't this just the son of Ahaz or Hezekiah? Really? You read this passage in these first 7 verses and you tell me any man who's ever lived that could establish the government and the throne of David for all of eternity. In verses 1 and 2, this is the one that's going to be born that brings light into darkness. I've never met a man that could do that. But Jesus is described in John chapter 1 as the one who came into darkness and was the light. Jesus himself says in John chapter 8, I'm the what? The light of the world. And those who believe in me will never be in darkness again. Isaiah here in verses 3 through 5 speaks about one who will come and deliver Israel from the oppressor. If you're Israel, thousands of years ago, hundreds of years before Christ was even born, that's the sad part about this passage. Though it's just terribly good news for you and me, it's sad for them because they never got to see this child, this Messiah born. It was hundreds of years later. They would have read this passage and thought, my oppressor is Assyria. Later, Judah would have said, my oppressor is Babylon. In the days of Christ, now 2,000 years ago gone by, Israel would have said, my oppressor is Rome. Ladies and gentlemen, they were all wrong. The greatest oppressor that's ever been in this world is not Assyria. It's not Rome. It's not Babylon. It's not even Al-Qaeda or any other evil organization that comes about. It's Satan and his entanglement that he offers you into sin. Who can deliver you from that oppressor, just in case you don't quite know yet who this passage is talking about? Jesus, the Messiah, the one who was born a child like a human, but who is also God, who could bring light into darkness, who could bring freedom from oppression. And it gets really good as Isaiah moves into verses 6 through 7. I want to tell you, as they were reading this, and they heard Wonderful Counselor, they heard Mighty God, they heard Everlasting Father, or Father Forever, and they heard Prince of Peace, it would have been like a warm shower on a bitterly cold winter night. They needed this encouragement. And so as you sit here today, I know there's lots of smiles on faces, but I wonder if there's not maybe some pain behind that smile because of a financial crisis that you find yourself in. Maybe the Christmas presents that you bought your children sends you into a depression because you don't have the money to pay, so you have to put it on credit, and they're going to start calling to get that money. The creditors are in the new year. Maybe it's children that are running you ragged. Maybe it's a relationship that you think is broken on beyond repair. Maybe it's your job that is about to destroy you, or the depression doesn't have enough pills to deal with. You need this passage as much as Israel did thousands of years ago. So let's read it together with hope. Isaiah says something that was for them in verse 6 that they never really got to see. But it's for you today. A child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. You tell me a name of a man who's ever done that outside of Christ. You can't. And how is this going to be accomplished? Verse 7 ends with, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. That's God making a promise to Israel. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I can trust God. Does he really keep his promises? You're sitting there right now, and I want you to know, absolutely, 1,000% yes. God always keeps his promises. You say, Pastor, how do you know that in my life? Because he did it here. These verses were fulfilled 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born. He kept these promises to Israel, and he'll keep them to you. What's the first promise he gives you here? Look in verse 6. It starts with, in Christ you have a real hope. A child will be born to us. Seems like a pretty simple statement. What it means is that Christ would be born Messiah, King, but also human. He knows you because he was you. He understands your pain because he felt that pain. Isaiah says that a son will be given to us. And I go, okay, great, it's going to be a male child. In the Old Testament, you go look when they said son, it was usually, if not always, followed up with son of the father's name. Like, David was the son of who? Jesse. But here it just says son, and it's silent. What is that indicating? It's indicating that this Messiah would have no earthly father. He would be the Son of God, and God the Son. And the first way that he brings hope into your life is that upon his shoulders, he can bear the weight of the entire government. Now, before I get to why that, I believe, is good news for you, it was good news for Israel because Ahaz was a wicked king. He was turning the people away from God and trying to trust into the processes of men. Ahaz had foreign enemies that Israel was about to get destroyed by. Isaiah says, you need to turn to God for help. Ahaz said, no, I'm going to turn to Assyria for help. Bad idea. Ahaz turned to Assyria, and they said, oh yeah, we'll come and rescue you. They came in, and they helped them for a little while with foreign oppressors. But then what did Israel, the quote-unquote savior, become? Assyria became the oppressor. They came back into Israel, and they took over the nation. Ultimately, by God's knowledge and will, took them into captivity. They needed to know that King Ahaz was not the best that it got in a form of government for them. You need to know today that as great as America is, and as bad as sometimes I see it, it's not the greatest hope that you have. I hope that you hear that today. Because the government cannot solve all your problems. The government cannot fix all your messes. And let's say it gets real bad, like the days of Ahaz. You have a Messiah that one day not only did he come and fulfill this passage, he will come again, and the government, this nation that is polarized and at each other's throats way too much, all of that will be done with, will because have one king. His name will be Christ forever, Jesus, and he will reign. But that day's not today, is it? You're going to wake up tomorrow and Fox News is still going to be on. You're going to wake up tomorrow and you still got to endure MSNBC or whatever it is. You still got to watch this. And like me, your heart gets torn in one direction and torn another. That's not on accident. And I have nothing against the media. I'm just saying this is how it is. Polarizing is what they're doing. So what can you do today? You can let Christ reign in your heart now. You can let Christ have control of your life and direct your steps and be the one to give you the strength that you need when you're down, and not try to just blame it on a politician. Own it yourself, fall to your knees, and ask Christ to give our nation direction. But most importantly today, when you walk out of here, to give you direction in your home and how you interact with people, even when you don't agree with them. How do Christians act towards each other? That's a great question. I didn't say, how do I see it? How should we see it? We should see it as Christians know that we have a Messiah who has come, and he can take control. He will reign. He can take the weight of the government on his shoulders. And verse 7 tells you, his kingdom will know no end. Not only will the government rest on his shoulders, but also I want you to know, as we start and get into these names, that in Christ, you have a wonderful Counselor. This term, wonderful Counselor, are just two words that are followed by two more words and two more words. And I know it's eight words in a row that describe Christ in four different ways. Now, these are not names like his name was Jesus, Wonderful Counselor. Jesus was his name. It meant God saves, and he did save the world through the cross and the resurrection. But you could know Jesus as a wonderful Counselor if he is your personal Savior. Like Emmanuel. It wasn't Jesus Emmanuel. It's not even Jesus Emmanuel Christ. Christ is not his last name. You know that, though. It just means Messiah. Emmanuel is not his surname. It was a meaning that you could describe Christ with. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. And that's exactly who Christ was and is. God with us. So Wonderful Counselor is who he can be. The establishment of his character in you and for you. The word wonderful means a power that you couldn't even grasp, that has benefits you couldn't even hope for. It's the kind of power that should blow your mind when you think about it. That's what wonderful means. It's the kind of power that you realize with Christ in your life, he can do anything. See, Pastor, he didn't know me. I think we've already established that he does know you because he was like you. We need a wonderful and powerful man, guide, God in our life. And so if there was this God, which there is in Christ available to you, that had all the power in the universe, what should you do with that person? I'll tell you what you should do. You should seek him for counsel. You should seek him for wisdom. You should seek him for guidance. There are people in this world making millions of dollars because you have this great desire for advice. Some of them are worthy expenditures of your money, and some of them aren't. On a serious level, you need to go to a lawyer with a legal problem. You need their advice. That's good. I think you should do that. You need to go to a doctor with your medical problem. That's good. I think you should do that, and you should pay them. On the other hand, we want advice in everything. We want advice, for example, from Pinterest on holiday decorating. Okay, that's okay as well. I'm not saying human advice is bad. What I'm telling you is that libraries are full of books that you're buying that try to fulfill your desire for the advice you need. And let me make a suggestion to you that the greatest advice you need is from Christ himself. First, foremost with a sickness, with a relationship with you? How about with a business issue? How about with the money issue? It's all the same. If you got marital problems in here today, yeah, welcome to the party. Christ has an answer. Read it in his book. He's got coaching for you. Do you have children problems? Any of your children running you ragged? No, not any of you. Well, Christ has advice on that. Read it in his word. Finance problems, on and on we could go. Not only does he know you, not only does he want to give his counsel to you, but he's powerful enough to handle any and every situation that you throw at him. That's what wonderful means. It means he's the kind of God, and that's what awesome means when he says mighty. Mighty is the same word as wonderful, really. It means this God who created the universe in 6 days rested on the seventh. This God who orchestrated a star to be seen in the universe by, we don't know if there's three of them, the Magi, the wise men, and it caused them to go from the east, wherever that was, all the way to Bethlehem just to confirm the birth of a Savior. It's the same God that manipulated the whole Roman Empire to have one census that caused Joseph to leave Nazareth with his bride Mary, with Jesus in her womb, to travel 90 miles to get to Bethlehem. That's God. That's Jesus, and that power is available to you if you would seek it. Oh, that power can handle any problem that you have. We got to move on. In Christ, not only do you have a wonderful counselor, you have a mighty God. And his power, this word mighty, is best displayed for you in Christ. Paul repeats this idea in 2 Corinthians 13:14. Listen to this. For indeed, he was crucified because of weakness. Whose weakness? Mine and yours. Yet he lives because of the power of God. For we are also weak in him, yet we will live with him because of the power of God directed toward you. Church, you can trust Christ. You can turn to Christ because he's good, but you can also turn to Christ because he is mighty. He is a mighty God that you need in your life. And my encouragement today is to let him reign. Not only in Christ do you have a wonderful counselor and a mighty God, but look at this next point, verse 6, continuing with these titles. In Christ you have a everlasting Father. We hear that all the time. Literally translated, it's forever Father. What I love about this is it makes all the other titles intimate. Because this Father that you have intimately loves you, not just as a judge who is judging you based on Christ's righteousness imputed to you or not. It's a God who is your personal Father. So he's a wonderful counselor. So he gives counsel to you. Why? Because as your Father, he wants you to have the best in your life. He wants the best for you like any good father should. He's a mighty God, which means he has the ability to protect you. But the Father aspect tells you why. Because you're his child, and every good father wants to protect his child. It makes all of these titles go from sanitary to intimate. God is a father through Christ to you that's available to you for how long, does he say? A couple weeks after your salvation, maybe a couple years until you fall into that first bat of sin, and maybe until you lose that first job. No, everlasting Father. I don't know your relationship with your dad. Some of you never knew your dad because he was never there. Some of you had this distant man in and out of your life that you call father. Some of you have this terrible impression of father, and every time I say it, you get angry because he was always angry towards you and mistreated you. Don't project. This is a counseling technique here. Don't project what your dad was and shouldn't have been upon Christ and who he is, because you need him to give you fatherly advice. You need his fatherly power of protection. You need to know that he will never leave you like some earthly fathers did. He will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. He will never steer you wrong. He will always stand up for you instead of throwing you under the bus if you would turn to him. We have a wonderful counselor. We have a mighty God. We have an everlasting Father in Christ. What does that result in? This final title. Because of all these things, you can have the Prince of Peace hand delivering peace to you in your life today. In a world that is in constant unrest, in a Christmas season that carries so much baggage of depression, you need peace. I know at the Christmas time you make lists for what you want. I get that. Maybe you don't do as much, but your children probably do. I know in the new year you're going to have lists that look a little different. They're going to be resolutions. I know in 2019 some of you have already set up goals and achievements and successes. I know many of you say, you know what, I'm going to wake up every day. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do the best I can to provide for those in my life to put meat on the table. And I want to say all those things are good. But above all of that, here's what you really need. You need peace. You need to be able to sleep at night without waking up in a nightmare. You need to be able to look at the mirror and not be disgusted. You need to be able to wake up every day and have peace. But you can only get it from Christ. Any of you watch those Facebook videos when they come up? No, none of you. Maybe it's Instagram. You watch those Instagram videos? Okay, maybe it's late night TV. Anybody watch like late night TV when those infomercials start rolling because you can't sleep? Here's what they're telling you. All of them are kind of the same. It may look a little different. But if you'll just buy this video package, I got this key to success that'll get you rich. I'm not going to tell you for free because that would be too easy. But if you buy my book, buy my video series, I can promise you, here's what they're going to promise you. I can promise you an abundant life. Don't buy it. Most of the time, they won't even make you any money. But an abundant life is not what they can offer because they don't have the power to do that. Only Christ can. Here's what abundant life means. It doesn't mean health necessarily. It doesn't mean wealth necessarily. It doesn't mean prosperity. What it means is peace. And that's what every one of you that showed up this evening, that's what you want with the Christmas trees and the nativity scenes. That's what you want from Christ at Christmas. Let me just tell you, and I'm not trying to shove it down your throat. I've experienced it. You need peace. You can only get that from Christ. He has come. Hope has been born. And you can have peace only if He's your Savior. Has Christ died for you on the cross? Yes. Was He your substitute on the cross to bear God's wrath in your place? Yes. Did He die? Yes. On your behalf for the glory of God? Did He rise from the dead? Yes. Do you have access to that power? Yes. But there's a question. Have you repented and have you believed? If you haven't, none of these things that Christ is are available to you. So the first type of peace you need to have is eternal peace. That can only come by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior because of His sacrifice and the resurrection. What a great gift God could give you today in that. But it's not just eternal peace. It's not everlasting peace. It is everlasting peace, but real practically, it's peace today. That when you walk out of here in the new series I'm going to preach in January, Beyond Sunday, peace at work, peace at home. This is why Christ came.